This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Do you know that seasonal affective disorder, or what we call SAD, affects approximately 35 million Americans? And a staggering part of that number is that 80% of those affected are women. Did you know that the reason that women are actually more affected than men by SAD is because the female body actually produces less serotonin, which is that mood-enhancing brain chemical that helps keep us emotionally stabilized? So with the combination of the reduced serotonin, that's one of the reasons not only for SAD, but why women are even more prone for depression. Do you know that SAD isn't just a wintertime blues? And that's what it's really referred to, that it affects some people even in the spring and the summer months. Well, thanks for joining me today. I'm your host, medical intuitive Carol Reitberger. And the topic of today's show is a seasonal affective disorder, or SAD. And the reason that I chose this specific topic is because it's really been thought of as a wintertime phenomenon. That's when we are most prone to be able to experience SAD. But one of the things that I started looking at is, why do we have it in the wintertime beyond just those dreary gray days? And what it is it's a lack of sunlight. And I thought, with the shorter days and then with going into the winter months and those dark, cloudy, cold, dreary days, it is a perfect topic. So I could offer some insight on SAD and what you can do from a therapeutic standpoint that you can begin right now if you are prone for SAD, that you can actually start doing right now. Because we know that if you start doing these different therapies or trying them before SAD actually becomes active in your body, or you have this depression of serotonin, then what's going to occur is that we can actually minimize the impact, shorten the cycle, and in many cases we're even finding that the people who have been prone to SAD in those wintertime months are actually not even experiencing it. So that's what the topic is today, and I'm going to be sharing, of course, as a medical intuitive, how I see it energetically. And then also, one of the things that I always do in my readings is that I always bring information forward about the hidden psychological meanings behind different illnesses in the body. One of the things that we know from the field of psychoneuroimmunology is that the illnesses that the body experiences really does begin as a energy around an emotion, or an emotion that builds up attitudes that are negative, that really rob of us life. And then the metaphor is a medical intuitive, I find, is that when we feel like our life is slipping away, or that we're not engaged, sweetness of life is being taken away, we don't have passion, or that we're down on ourselves. All of those things are the metaphors that I find with depression, and they also fit the same metaphors with SAD. So I'm going to be sharing some of the perspectives of how I see SAD as a medical intuitive, and then in the last segment of the show, I'm going to be offering some different therapies that we've found that have really worked in being able to help the body, and especially the female body. I don't mean that, you know, kind of negate the men listeners that I have, but because women are so prone to this, some of the therapies that I'm going to be sharing, I may even differentiate that this is more favorable for the female body versus the male body. So that's what the topic's going to be. I hope that you're going to enjoy the show. In fact, it was a suggestion from a listener from Minnesota. So for all of my Minnesota listeners, and in those northern hemispheres way up toward the Canadian border and into Canada listeners, this is something that seems to be a prevalent problem, especially in those winter months. So thank you for the suggestion. And if you have a suggestion for me on a show, I invite you to go to my website, www.Reitberger, R-I-T-B-E-R-G-E-R.com. And then what you do is, on my homepage, just put your cursor over the radio tab, and then you'll see a drop-down menu. Click on radio shows, and there you'll find a suggestion button that you can send to me what you would like me to cover. I love covering the topics that the listeners send, because not only are they timely, but I find that they seem to be a common theme or a common illness that I find in many of the people that I'm doing readings on or the listeners themselves. In addition to talking about SAD, I'm also going to be taking your calls. So if you have a question for me about your health or about the topic today, you can call me at 877-230-3062. That number is good in the U.S. and Canada. And international callers, of course, dial your international calling code and then 877-230-3062. As I mentioned, SAD is really known as a winter depression. We refer to it as winter blues, but we're also finding that it's summer depression. We call it summer blues, or we actually refer to it as seasonal depression. It is considered a mood disorder in which people who have what we refer to as a normal mental health, I chuckle every time I read that because I'm not sure what normal is, by which standard that it's being measured. But the people who are not prone to depressive tendencies or depression tendencies can be affected by SAD and can be affected in many of the months throughout the year. So one of the things that I've found with the SAD is that when we really look at it, we need to understand that it's a very real physical condition because it really affects many aspects of the body. First and foremost, it affects the pineal gland because it actually increases the production of the sleep-related hormone melatonin. That's one of the reasons that there is a connection between sleep disorders and depression or SAD. Also, it affects the circadian rhythm. That's that physiological process that helps our body regulate itself by its own internal clock. And it also decreases the production of serotonin, which is a mood-relating, regulating neurotransmitter. And as I mentioned, the female body has a tendency to produce less serotonin than the male body does, and that's one of the reasons that we're finding in the research that women are more prone to SAD than men. Some of the symptoms that are associated with SAD, the SAD disorder, is the difficulty in waking up in the morning. Some people even experience morning sickness, the tendency to oversleep and overeat, especially the cravings for carbohydrates, which can lead to weight gain. Weight gain can also impact the level of serotonin in the physical body, and as a result, then the physical body becomes more of cravings, which we also find that the cravings is a natural aspect or expression of SAD as well. Other symptoms is just a general sense of malaise, also lack of energy, difficulty concentrating on completing tasks, and a withdrawal from friends, family, and social activities, and then also the decrease in the sex drive. All of these symptoms are also associated with depression, but one of the things that seems to really differentiate SAD from depression is the fact that it's the difficulty in concentrating, and then also it has to do with that oversleeping or the insomnia that is associated with SAD. People that are prone to depression tend to have a higher propensity to be prone to SAD. SAD is a very specific type of depression. It's also an indicator of a person being prone to depression. People who have depression also can come from the seasonal affective disorder. While it is a form of depression, those wintertime blues, it actually is tied more to light. And I'm going to talk about that more as we get into the actual treatment options that are available and everything. One of the things that also is associated with SAD, and especially with the spring and the summer depression, is that it includes insomnia, as I've mentioned a couple of times. I don't know why it just keeps coming up and up and up and over and over and over again. Anxiety, irritability, decreased appetite, sometimes weight loss because we just basically lose that desire to eat. And then also in the extreme cases with SAD, because it is tied to the depression and to serotonin and the increase in melatonin, then for some people it can also lead to suicidal thoughts. And one of the things that I encourage people to do is that if you do have a tendency for SAD and you do find that it seems to be getting more, it becomes worse in the winter every year that you get it, then what you might want to do is you might want to go in and look at some of the underlying causes that are associated with SAD. When I go in and I look at SAD from a medical intuitive standpoint, what I really do is I look at the overall energy of the body. And the reason that I do that is the cause of SAD is really unknown. But what we are finding is, again, because of this link that it has with depression, is that we believe that there's a genetic predisposition to it. For example, if someone in your family lineage, your mother or your grandmother, either on your father or mother's side, specifically in the females, has a propensity for depression, then you too can have a higher genetic predisposition for depression and then also for SAD. Age does play a factor in the increase in SAD as people get older. We're trying to, from a scientific standpoint, really understand why that is. One of the things that we're finding is that we think that it's related to the fact that it has to do with the changes, hormonal changes in the body that are naturally a part of the aging process, and that actually will decrease the serotonin, actually increase the melatonin. It isn't unusual for people as they age to have, where their body needs more sleep, they actually are requiring less sleep. Where the body needs more sleep, their mind believes that they don't need as much sleep. And that also we're finding just an overall thing that we're in the research is that stress is playing a major component in the dynamic specifically around SAD, that seasonal affective disorder. And part of the reason that we're looking at that is that not only with the winter months, because we know that the circadian rhythm of the body changes, but as we enter into the seasonal, the holiday seasons where the stress increases significantly, it requires us to stay up longer, to be under stress for a longer period of time on a daily basis or a weekly basis, that we're finding that the chemicals that are associated with stress, and specifically cortisol, is really increasing a person's susceptibility to SAD. Also, it appears that there's a latitudinal disorder that's associated with it, meaning that SAD is actually more common in the northern hemispheres, such as northern United States, Canada, Alaska, and then also we're finding the Icelandic states that we have a more of a high propensity for SAD because there's a natural decrease in the amount of sunlight, for example. In Alaska, in many parts of Alaska, they won't even see the sun for days at a time, and there seems to be a very high rate of depression and specifically SAD in those times. SAD is really different from other forms of depression, even though I keep saying that it's similar. And the reason that it is different is because it can mimic so many other conditions that we may have, such as chronic fatigue. A lot of people may have experienced some muscle discomfort when it comes to experiencing SAD. We can think of it as maybe mimicking it being arthritis, but in fact it may be tied to this form of depression. So some of the symptoms of SAD is that we, besides the ones that I talked about, is that really what it comes down to is that really the cravings, that how that's probably, when I did the research on this, that's probably the thing that differentiates SAD from depression. While with depression, there's a craving for the consistency, the energy. With SAD, there seems to be extreme cravings that are associated with it. And it's not so much the sugar as I find that it's the simple carbohydrates, those foods that are really high in carbohydrates that spike the glycemic index. And then as a result, what it does is that it actually causes that serotonin imbalance to become more exaggerated. Then what we do is we get simple carbohydrates, we get that energy burst, and then we get sleepy. A lot of times it leads to naps in the afternoon. While that can be very beneficial in many ways in healing the body, it does contribute to insomnia as well. Some of the symptoms that are really specifically tied to the summertime onset of SAD are anxiety. And usually in the summer months, we don't have all the stress and press that we do in the holiday season. So the anxiety can lead to chronic stress. Chronic stress leads to anxiety. But what it also can do is it can lead to a despondency. And that's one of the things that we find with summertime onset of SAD versus even the winter, is that while there may be the propensity for depression symptoms, that we actually find that there's more despondency when we come to the summertime, which is the time that most of us are actually just kind of really excited about getting up and getting going. One of the things that we find with the summertime is also poor appetite. So versus the winter SAD symptoms where there's the craving for carbohydrates, simple carbohydrates, and in many cases sugar, then what we find is that that actually stimulates the appetite. But what we're finding is that there's poor appetite in the summer, and then also agitation. And then there's what I refer to as an unbridled enthusiasm that really kind of blows everything out of proportion. And it's not so much the depression, what we refer to in the psychological world as awfulizing, meaning that we can take a situation and it can become a catastrophic, emotionally catastrophic event for us, and we awfulize it to the point where it creates the worry, the anxiety that's associated with depression or wintertime blues or wintertime sad. But in the summer part, what we find is that instead of awfulizing, we become overly excited. It's like we can take a situation and it's like it just triggers something inside of us that we just can't seem to control, from the standpoint that we just have to really reenact it. We have to really experience it. We have to tell people about it. There's a lot of repetitiveness in the way that we tell it. The situation becomes more exciting every time that it's told. And so that it actually goes in and creates a different kind of symptomology. Now, I associated the symptomology in the research with the SAD that's with summer, but I also find that people who have a propensity to experience SAD in the autumn months share not only the summertime SAD symptoms, but also the wintertime SAD symptoms. And as a result, it throws that circadian clock off. It throws off the person's attitude, their emotional stability, or the way that they cope with their challenges in life or the stress in their life. And it really is kind of like getting a double whammy. So if you do find that you have these different symptoms and you are being treated for depression, then that's probably a form of expression of that. But if you find that you're not depressive by nature and you're experiencing the symptomology of SAD, then what I always encourage people to do is that what we don't want to do is we don't want to self-diagnose. And what I mean by that is that it really is a physical issue. And then as a physical issue, then what can happen is that it can become physical, psychological, and can lead to other things. So again, if you think that you experience SAD, even if it's any time of the year, the best thing to do is to seek the help of a mental health care provider or professional to be able to help you identify exactly, is it depression? Is it form of bipolar? Because there is research that shows that there's a connection between SAD and bipolar as well. And that SAD left unchecked, meaning that we don't treat it because we self-diagnose. And the common way that we do this is that we just feel blue. You know, it's kind of like people will say, well, are you depressed? And it's like, no, I'm not really depressed. I just feel blue. I just can't seem to gain the enthusiasm or to get the energy that's needed. And I just want to take a nap and I just want to kind of disengage from all the hustle and bustle. And those are not things that are common comments for us to make on a everyday basis. So if you think that you have the blues, then again, I'm going to ask you to go in and really look at what you're experiencing and seek the help of someone. One of the things that I find as a medical intuitive that in SAD, the presence of SAD is in somebody's aura, it indicates that there's primarily a pineal gland imbalance that is affecting a person's desire to engage in life and the willingness to change. That's one of the things, and it seems like in the winter months more than the summer months, where we're really engaged in life, a lot of outdoor activity, we're out in the sunlight, so we're getting the vitamin D that we need, we're engaged in the activities this summer. One of the things that I find is in the winter months, the circadian rhythm within the body tends to have to adapt to both time changes. if you live in the United States where we have the daylight saving time or standard time. And then also it's the shorter days that we have with less light. So one of the things that I find is that it does impact the pineal gland, not only from that circadian rhythm and the sleep cycle, but it also, in the pineal gland, it's a very integral, in fact, it's one of the main components or major components of the immune system itself. So people who tend to have a predisposition for the seasonal affective disorder also, we're finding in research, has a higher predisposition to experience chronic respiratory infections, and then also that can be anywhere from seasonal bronchitis, chronic bronchitis. It can even trigger asthma in people because of the immune system becoming weakened. It can leave them more vulnerable to colds. It can leave them more vulnerable to flu because of the way the immune system functions in relationship with the pineal gland itself. So here are some of the psychological factors that I've found that are associated with SAD, is that a person feels disconnected from themselves and just kind of like they're going through the motions of life. And it's that disconnection from self that really, it's not the same as depression from the standpoint that we may feel emotionally numb. But it's where we just disconnect from ourselves. And it's almost like we're standing outside of ourselves and watching ourselves go through the movement, going through the activities, and just kind of going through the day-to-day part of life itself. And what I have found is that in that disconnection is that we feel disconnected not only from our activities of our life, but we start to experience a spiritual disconnection. And one of the things I found as a medical intuitive is that people that suffer from SAD also feel like if they've had guides and angels around them, they're not able to connect with the guides and angels the way that they normally do. And I hear consistently is that, you know, Carol, it's like I keep asking them, how can I help myself? What can I do differently? Is anybody there? And it's like I can't even feel them around. I can't feel the connection. So when I find with SAD as a medical intuitive is that there's also a spiritual component that's associated with it. And in the chakra system, I find that that disconnect that happens energetically is between the third chakra and the seventh chakra. So for any of my energy workers that work with chakras, if you're dealing with anybody that is actually working with SAD, specifically SAD, and not depression, but specifically SAD, is that where you will find that the origin site of SAD is in the pineal gland, the seventh chakra that's associated with it, and the third chakra associated with the adrenals themselves. And the adrenals create the stress that creates the anxiety, that creates an acidic pH in the body, that creates a weakness in the digestive tract. We start beginning to have malabsorption issues. We're not having as much energy. So what we do is then we have the cravings. The foods we eat are acidic. The acidic foods change the acidity of the body, weaken the immune system, affects the pineal gland. So I share that very, very quickly just so all of you can experience how SAD is a chain reaction between these two particular chakras itself. One of the other things that I find psychologically is that the person doesn't feel that they have a sense of freedom, or that they actually believe that they can change anything in their life or what they're doing. They feel like they're really trapped, not only within themselves, and then that can lead to this isolation around other people. And one of the things when I share in the next segment with both depression and with SAD is that support groups are very, very healthy for people that tend to suffer from this, because there's a natural tendency, again, to not engage in life and to pull back and to go into that isolated state. The other thing that I found, and this is really to do with the spiritual disconnection that they're feeling, is they have little faith in the universe and believe that their angels, guides, and even the creator and their belief that can be the divine, Buddha, Allah, Jesus, God, divine, goddess, whatever you would like to refer to, that we just feel like that aspect of ourselves is somehow disconnected and we've been forsaken. And what that means is that we feel very, very alone and very unprotected. there's some interesting things that I've also found with the connection with SAD and the spiritual disconnection is that some of the symptoms that are associated with SAD are the same symptoms that are associated with burnout. And I find that as a medical intuitive, people who suffer from burnout also experience SAD that leads to depression. And then people that experience SAD also experience burnout more quickly and move deeper into the burnout cycle. And as a result, it's the combination of that chemistry change, the lack of sleep, the change in the inner circadian clock that's with SAD and with burnout that ultimately could lead to depression, but may or may not. So I find it very interesting when we start looking, as I look at it from a holistic perspective and offering people different opportunities to be able to deal with it or treatments, whether that's a medical treatment, because I'm not anti-medicine or anti-doctors, or whether we're going to do it from an alternative standpoint, is that we look at the big picture. We look at the stress that's in someone's life. We look at the emotions. While we honestly, it seems logical that if we experience SAD, that seasonal affective disorder, that we would experience the emotion of sadness. But one of the things that I find that I associate more with SAD is resentment. And in that resentment, we resent the fact maybe if we're outdoors people, we can't go outdoor. We feel resentful that we aren't able to do what we normally do. We don't feel like ourselves, so there's a self-directed resentment. So while the common logical thing is SAD produces the emotion of sadness or sadness produces SAD, the reality of it is I find that the real underlying emotion that's associated with SAD specifically is resentment, and specifically self-directed resentment. And one of the things that I read a quote the other day is that when we experience self-directed resentment, it's like taking poison and then hoping who we resent is going to change or go away. So it really does have a major impact on ourselves. And one of the things I found as medical intuitive is also resentment is tied to insomnia. And you can't have one without the other. It's kind of like the song. So what I want to do is just share all of that. I'm going to take a quick commercial break right now, and then I'm going to be taking your calls. So if you have a call for me, a question for me about either the topic today or about your health, you can call me at 877-230-3062. Please stay tuned. I'm going to be right back, and I'm going to be talking more about SAD and what we can do from a treatment standpoint, and I would love to take your calls. I'll be right back.
How would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing. What color is your personality? Red, orange, yellow, or green? Now at Reitberger.com, Dr. Carol Reitberger, an international leader in the field of personality psychology, brings you everything you need to know about your personality. With Carol's innovative insights and personality assessment, you can finally live the life you desire, create more satisfying relationships, enjoy better health, and much more. So act now. Discover your personality color and find out about the personality colors of the people in your life, all at Reitberger.com. What you learn will change your life forever.
welcome back. And if you are just joining me today, I'm talking about seasonal affective disorder and that topic. We also refer to it SAD. And what I really want to share is that SAD really makes us feel sad with a capital S. And again, when I say that is that while SAD is connected to depression, depression isn't necessarily connected to SAD. Now, I know that sounds like kind of a riddle, but the reality of it is the two are very, very different, not only in the way that the body actually is impacted, but also the way that we express ourselves emotionally. And one of the things with depression is, I always find as a medical intuitive, sadness. But what I find as a prevailing emotion with the seasonal affective disorder is resentment. I'm also taking your call. I'm going to talk a little bit more about SAD and some different treatments that we found work very, very effectively with it. But I am taking your call. So if you have a question for me about your health or about today's topics, you can call me at 877-230-3062. Let's do it again. 877-230-3062. That number is good. US callers, Canadian callers, and international callers. So I look forward to talking to you. I'd also like to let you know that I just posted the audio download and the printable PDF download from my Lyme disease teleclass that I just gave in November for purchase. And it's for purchase on my website at www.ritberger.com. In these downloads, I discuss how Lyme disease appears to affect women more differently than men because of their immune system response to viruses and bacteria. I also share about why it's so often misdiagnosed, and part of the reason for that is that Lyme disease actually mimics so many other different symptoms or diseases in the body. Lyme disease is also called Lyme arthritis, and one of the things is that contributes to it being misdiagnosed is that the diagnosis tries to center itself around rheumatoid arthritis specifically, and what we find is that the factors that determine the rheumatoid arthritis aren't prevalent, and then it can lead to finally the discovery of the Lyme disease itself. Another reason that it's misdiagnosed is the fact that if it isn't diagnosed in its initial stages, then what occurs is that, and we have to have the active cell changes in the body, both the white and red blood cell count, and we have to actually have the spirochete present in the bacteria, which is a spirochete present in the blood itself. It's often misdiagnosed, and as a result, people can suffer years and years with having these debilitating symptoms that occur without going diagnosed. And while Lyme disease can be cured later into the process, it is much easier to cure if we find it in the initial stages. And the first and foremost way that we know whether it's Lyme disease is that we have that symptomology of that red kind of target rash, bullseye rash that occurs. Not everybody gets it, but what does occur is that it is common for it to be there. So misdiagnosis is the mimicking of other conditions, and it also is due to the fact that if it isn't active in the blood, meaning visible, then a doctor's not going to be able to diagnose it properly. And then also in that diagnostic process, know which type of antibiotic is the best treatment plan to put somebody on. I also find, I'm going to talk about the hidden psychological contributors behind the disease and how it affects the energy body, such as what I've done on the show today, and then also alternative therapies that can help relieve the symptoms associated with it. And one of the things that we do know from a medical standpoint is the most effective way to be able to manage Lyme disease and to cure it is antibiotics, but we also know that the body is very, very effective in creating immune system responses to the antibiotics itself, where it basically won't work with the antibiotics. So we're learning from the medical field is that the use of antibiotics isn't going to be as freely used as it was before. So there's some alternative therapies that you can do as well. Also, there's a try before you buy feature, so you can actually listen to a brief excerpt from the audio download, and then you can read a page of the printable PDF, which, by the way, is 42 pages long, before you purchase it. Also, to let you know that there are 28 other illnesses that I've also featured in my Your Health teleclasses. These different topics have been suggestions from you, my listeners, and then from others from my database and people that I've done readings on. So if you have a suggestion, not only for a show that you would like me to do or potentially a teleclass where I can actually do a full hour on the topic of itself, then just again, go to my website, www.ritberger.com. And then what you can do is you can suggest a topic for a teleclass as well. And what you do is you go to the same website, of course, homepage, and then you go and put the cursor on teleclass, drop down menu, click on downloads, and then what you'll do is you'll find the downloads and the Try Before You Buy feature on the Lyme disease so you can see if it's something that you're interested in and the quality of the information that's provided. One of the things we know about this tick-borne disease is that it's really reaching epidemic proportions. It's not just in the United States. It's actually happening globally as well. And one of the things is that we are seeing an increase of over 100,000 people that are being diagnosed with Lyme disease since 1999, and that number is increasing annually. And what we're finding is that that number is probably even larger because so many of the different because Lyme disease goes unreported because, again, it mimics so many different illnesses. So, again, you can go back in www.ritberger.com. Also wanted to let you know that I just posted my January 2013, oh my gosh, I can't believe that, reading schedule on my website, www.ritberger.com. And all the readings are booked online, and they're on a first-come, first-served basis. So one of the things that I encourage you to do is to go in, put the cursor on readings, drop down personal readings, click on it, and you'll find out all the information about the type of information I can bring forward in a reading, the cost, and you can actually book online. So if any of you have been thinking about doing a reading with me, what a great way to start 2013. What I'd like to do right now is I am going to be talking about some of the things that we can do from a treatment standpoint with the SAD disorder. But let me jump on right now, and let's take Lisa from New Hampshire. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Carol.
How can I help you, sweetie?
Well, I've been having some issues with digestion, mm-hmm. and I'm being kind of acidic, and I'm wondering, I've had a mesh implant, and I'm wondering if that could be causing some of these issues.
Yes, it is.
Is there something that that can be done? I'm not sure what my next step would be.
That's an outstanding question because the best person to be able to answer that. Can you go back to the gastrointestinal doctor that did the surgery?
She's no longer at that.
Okay.
Hospital.
So one of the things I'm going to do is I'm going to encourage you to go and look at the mesh process and look at some of the symptoms associated with it. And then I'm going to encourage you to go and talk to someone about what can be done. And let me be really clear, because I feel like I'm kind of waffling and kind of dancing around things, and I don't mean to do that to you, sweetie. One of the things is your body hasn't adapted to it. It feels like it's trying to reject it still. It doesn't feel to me, and when I actually go in and look at it, it doesn't look like anything was done wrong. It just feels like your body just isn't accepting it the way that other people's body would normally accept it. And I've got an immune system reaction that's taking place where it feels like your immune system is trying to kind of go through your whole body to find out, you know, is there anything wrong? Can it isolate anything that's happening? And as a result, I'm picking up this immune system response is creating a lot of symptomology of other things that we may think is a problem, but for some reason your body is not just accepting this mesh procedure.
Could that have anything to do with food sensitivities? Because it seems
absolutely.
Like I'll eat one little thing and all of a sudden my ears will itch or I'll get a sore throat. It doesn't seem to matter what I'm eating.
Exactly. And it can change. I mean, one day you can eat something and the next day you can't.
Yeah.
And one of the things, when we have that hyperactive immune system, and again, it's doing what it's designed to do. It's trying to help you and help your body stay healthy. But because your body just doesn't seem to be embracing this procedure, and again, it wasn't done wrong. I don't mean to be protecting doctors, but it really wasn't. It's just, it's not working for your body. So your immune system is being very active. It's like it's always on call to find anything that could possibly be going wrong or potentially going wrong. And that's why I think that you're getting the food sensitivities. I think that's why your gut feels like it's very unsettled to me. I'm actually picking up that you're not really absorbing the nutrients and the vitamins of the different foods that you are eating. So your body is getting food, but it's not working with it the way that it's designed. It's not going into the stomach chime the way that it used to. As a result, you're getting semi-solid particles down in the small intestine that can lead to bloating or discomfort. It can be bowel changes. It changes the pH. It can be a predisposition for candida. So again, the reason I wanted you to go to the doctor is I just wanted you to talk to someone to tell them what you're experiencing and to see what options you have.
Yeah, because if it's rejecting this one and they want to replace it with another one, I may end up having the same issue.
Well, I do believe that's true, and I think that's a very sound question to ask yourself, and to ask yourself if this is the right procedure for you altogether.
Okay.
And then I want to, if I may, I want to go a little bit deeper with this, if I might, sweetie.
Sure.
When I touch you deep inside, you feel very happy with yourself. You know, you have a real zest for life. You have a real enthusiasm for life. You like to learn new things. You like to try new things. You have a very strong spiritual connection. And when I touch the process of this mesh and the reasons that you did this, very bluntly, I can't find the reasons you did this being your reasons. It feels like you were doing it for peer or outside reasons, and that may be part of the reason that there's this kind of psychological rejection that's going on.
I just had gone to the doctors, and they're the ones that suggested me having this done.
Yeah. And it may very well be that if, you know, by sharing that with you, is that, you know, we don't need to send you into therapy, but it may very well be that there's an unknown part of you still that's trying to figure out why this even happened. What were they trying to accomplish by this when you inside feel very healthy to me, both psychologically and physically? And I can even pick up the confusion as to why all of this has taken place. And, you know, there wasn't harm done, but part of the rejection is I don't think there's a full understanding or even acceptance of the fact of why this even got done. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does.
And I think that by encouraging you to talk to a physician, then what you can do is you can get the information that you need about the procedure, what to expect. It doesn't even feel like you were really fully given the information about what to expect or how long is it going to take or, you know, is it a potential that it's not going to work or a thing. So I think that the physician can be very, very helpful from the standpoint of providing information for you to make a decision around it. And then maybe a physician can also offer other opportunities. But for some reason, this just honestly felt like, and you've not acknowledged it, that it was really kind of pushed on you.
Well, yeah, I was told that I needed to have it done.
Did they tell you why?
Because I think it was after I had my daughter. There was a bulge in that area, and they wanted to repair it, and I didn't think it was even that big. but it was an umbilical hernia repair.
Right.
So I think they didn't want it. They wanted to keep it from getting bigger.
Right. Well, that makes sense, but I've just got a little bit of violation. I just have a little lack of understanding there.
Okay.
So, you know, one of the things I was going to send you to the web and to do some research, and I would encourage you to do that as well. The procedure works. It just, for some reason, just isn't working for you.
Yeah, I've had it done a while ago, but I'm feeling a lot of all these symptoms are, I'm very acidic. I feel, you know, I do get candida issues, and like you mentioned.
Right.
And then I'm not sure if it's also causing sleep disturbances, but I've been having a lot of that as well.
Yeah. Well, it can kind of, the web sac doesn't cause that, but the acidity can cause that.
Oh, the acidity can cause sleep?
Absolutely, because the acidity that we get when the body's too acidic, and one of the ways to look at acidity is the acidity is created by cellular waste byproduct. The lymph system isn't able to detox the body as quickly, nor is the liver able to detox the body as quickly. And when we have an overactive immune system that's trying to figure out where in the body something may not be functioning properly, and it's just kind of running around, like I call it, a bunch of screaming memes, trying to find this, you're going to have a buildup of toxin. The pH, when it becomes acidic in the small intestine specifically, the digestive tract, but small intestine, impacts the immune system. So if we have the immune system that is trying to differentiate, you know, what's going on and where the real problem is, then we've got acidity in the immune system. That goes into the blood, so we have acidity in the blood. The blood goes throughout the body, so now we have acidity not only in the blood, but in the cerebral spinal fluid. And that cerebral spinal fluid is tied not only to the brain cognitive aspects to it, that's part of the reason even candida can go systemic into the brain, even though a lot of doctors don't really understand that. Some will acknowledge it. But what it does is it just changes the dynamics of the hormones of the pineal gland that is tied to the immune system. So it's kind of a dynamic chain reaction, sweetie.
Wow.
And again, I don't mean to overwhelm you with information, but it's just to help you get a picture of why you're having these random symptoms where you are and why they don't make any sense, because they pop up and then they go away.
Right. And that's what I've been dealing with, and it seems to be getting worse.
Yes.
So
I encourage you to go and talk to a physician, find out what other options you have, and see what we can do. Get the information, maybe enough information can help you psychologically not feel like this is something that was just kind of pushed upon you. And again, the doctor did a great job, but there's just a violation. That's what it feels like to me. And there's inside, I can't marry the two.
Well, I do have pain right at the navel too when I push down. So I don't know if that's the scar tissue that's causing that, the pain. Because I always wondered if it was done correctly, but you're saying that it is.
Well,
it does feel like
it was done correctly, meaning that medically it was done the way that it needs to. But the fact that you're having these things is that you need the information, sweet.
Okay.
You need to talk to someone that is willing to talk to you. Also, a female doctor is better for you than a male doctor. And talk to someone that can be open, and if they're not, find someone else and get the information so you can understand this. Because what's occurring, and it's only natural, is that worry factor associated with it, the uncertainty of these things popping up, all of those things are contributing as well.
Okay. So it's a vicious cycle.
Well, it is. And the best way, anytime we get in a vicious cycle where we can't make sense of anything, is to get the information that we need from people who are well-trained in those areas, and then we can make decisions that are in our best interest.
Okay. Thank you very much, Carol.
You are most welcome. Well, what I want to do is, before I start looking and closing the show out, I talked about the fact that what we do with SAD is that there's a lot of treatments that we can take from a conventional standpoint, but there's even more that we can do from an alternative standpoint. And one of the things, the most common treatment from a physician standpoint, is to put someone on an antidepressant. But the reality of it is that while that can manage the serotonin aspect and that decrease, what then occurs is that it comes in and it actually throws the cycle, the circadian rhythm, off. So with antidepressants, we have to be a little bit cautious in just taking them. Talk to your physician, a mental health care professional about it. If you go to and see a psychologist, psychotherapist, psychiatrist about it, then what we want to do is we want to look at the antidepressant and what are the overall what is the overall impact going to be. And part of the reason for that is, if it is SAD versus depression, many of the different medications that are given for depression become habitual in nature because of the way that they feed a specific part of the brain. They have an addictive quality about them. And a person who has the seasonal affective disorder isn't depressed, other than having this wintertime depression or these blues, or maybe in the summer or the fall. But it tends to be that they have they're very well-defined times. So again, if you're going to look at antidepressants, then I encourage you to gather a lot of information before you take it. Some of the things that we've found is really, really very effective with SAD is light therapy. One of the things we encourage people to do is to sit in front of a full-spectrum light, and you want to sit in front of that light at minimum of 5 minutes, no more than 15 minutes. You want to do it in short bursts, and what that does is the full-spectrum lighting is just like the sunlight. It actually absorbs into the skin. The skin is where we manufacture vitamin D. Vitamin D impacts serotonin and also melatonin, so it works very effectively in using the full-spectrum lighting. The best times to do that is in the morning and the evening, because what the full-spectrum lighting does and the therapy does is it actually impacts the melatonin and the pineal gland secretion of this melatonin. About 60% of people suffering from SAD actually notice a significant improvement within 4 to 5 days. Also, taking vitamin D supplements, we find that there's a deficiency there, vitamin B deficiency. What we can do is multiple vitamins with magnesium, B complex, and minerals. Avoid high, simple carbohydrates, heavy foods at dinner time, because that can throw it off. You want to follow a low fat diet, avoid eating too much protein and red meat, specifically at night. You want to change the scenery, take a vacation, get out in the sun, move around, avoid becoming sedentary. That's part of the part that comes in that really is this self-isolation. And the other thing is that we found is ionized air is very, very effective in working with SAD. Cognitive behavioral therapy, mindfulness is very important, and then also a carefully timed supplementation of the hormone melatonin. But please do work with someone, because melatonin does tend to throw off the circadian clock. We don't need very much of it. But if we get too much of it, it throws it off. If we have too little of it, it throws it off. So there's a very fine line. The body actually produces a very minimal amount. So, again, work with someone when you are going to be working with the melatonin. One of the things that you can also do is group therapy. This is a support group. There are actual support groups in the areas where SAD tends to be most prevalent. And one of the things is that you realize that you're not alone. It gets you out involved with people. It gets you talking about how you're feeling. All of those things are very important. Group therapy also is around stress management. You can go to stress management. You can go to SAD therapy. But all of those things are very important. They can educate you on sleep and, most important, on self-esteem. Thank you very much for joining me today. I hope that you enjoyed the show. And thank you, my listener from Minnesota, for this suggestion. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. I'm going to see you next week on the radio on Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. Light and love to all of you. and happy holidays in that preparation. Light and love.
You've been listening to the Carol Rideberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com. See you soon.